The type of leader God chooses. One of the most revealing scriptures about God is Isaiah 55:8-9. It reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." These verses share that God operates and does things on a much higher level than people. One area where God does things different from people is the way he selects leaders. This lesson is designed to examine the call of Moses and show the type of leaders God chooses. Y'all can read that part of how I broke it down. If you got a worksheet, go ahead. I'm going to read Exodus 3:1-10. Amen. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire. It did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for this place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Sites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Lord, I'm sweating my glasses, and I ain't got no windshield wipers. I might have to just take them off. Hallelujah. Lord, bring a word. Amen. Exodus 3:11 says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh, unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Look here. God can choose people to lead who have insecurities. You can be insecure. The reason why I want to teach this now, and I believe the timing of it all, is because on Sunday, Dr. Bowen preached about water walkers. He preached about us coming from the scripture of Peter walking on the water. That really wasn't his title, but he began to talk about water walkers. And that caught me because I need some water walkers, because when you start going to another level, God has to send you some water walkers that can walk on the water with you. You feel me? And then Dr. Bishop, I call him Magneto, Bishop Paul Morton, because he can just stand here and y'all go crazy because he's such an anointed man. He came from the John when he talked about the two fish and five loaves of bread. But I don't know how he got there, but he crip walked across the water and started talking about water walkers. I started shouting, and folks thought I was shouting for what he said, but I wasn't shouting for exactly what he said. I was shouting because Sunday I heard about water walkers. Tuesday I heard about water walkers. Monday when I came up here, I was praying so loud, I ain't have my gun on me or nothing. People in the hood started opening up their doors to see what was going on, but God was telling me how he was going to fund this vision I had without worrying about money. Come on, somebody. And so I heard the water walkers, and I knew God was about to take my people to another level. But I got to tell you that it doesn't matter that you insecure, because God calls insecure people, because he can't call people that's so holy they ain't no earthly good. He can't call folk that think they better than everybody. He calls people who are insecure, because you understand that if it was not for God on my side, I don't know where I'd be. You understand that he who began a good work in me shall finish it, and it ain't even my power. I just got to take care of the in-between time. If I keep following him and faint not, he'll renew my strength and cause me to mount up like an eagle. Even though I'm insecure. You can be insecure and God still use you. Can I tell you something? I'm very insecure when I stand up here and preach. And that's why, especially when I got more guests, because y'all don't know me, I don't know y'all. And so my flesh don't want to mess up, and I already get nervous when I talk to people. I don't like talking in front of crowds. Ain't it crazy God called me? He called me because of my insecurities, because he understood that if I step up here, I know it ain't me. Yeah, y'all don't feel me. See, I know it's not me. I'm an introvert. I can't deal with a lot of people. I can talk to you in front of the crowd, but I'm an introvert because I really don't talk to people individually at all, because I'm shy. Believe it or not. Stop laughing. You're laughing like you don't believe me. Go to heaven. If I went at church, I shortened the word. No, I'm just playing. Go to heaven. But seriously, he called people who are insecure. He can use you when you're insecure, because you understand that he's the author and the finisher, and it's not you. If you were at the point and you thought you was all that in a bag of chips, God will humble you. But when you know it's him, he has to take care of you. Because when you put his name out there and not yours, you're not stealing his glory. And he ain't gonna never look bad, because he blesses you for his name's sake, not yours. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod and your staff shall comfort me, right? Because he wants you to be blessed. He came to give you life and to give you more abundantly, but he didn't come to give you what you just act like you too good and you're supposed to have it. Let's go to the next one. Look here. Exodus 3:13, because even though you're insecure, God can use you, because you will stay on your knees, because you understand that you can't do it without him. I can't put a sermon together without him. I can't rightly divide the word. I had two other sermons written all the way out, because that's what I wanted to do. But God been making me do these handouts. I do it well when I'm teaching mode, but I realize I'm a teacher anyway. But God wants me to fill in the blanks as I go along. He wants me to just say, this sermon is going to sound totally different than 8 o'clock. But right now, I'm in an insecure moment. Why? Because God wants you to be insecure, because he wants you to hold on to him and not your own self. He wants you to trust him and not your way. He already said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your way. You don't know what I'm thinking. That's why it's good to walk by faith and not by sight, because the only thing the devil can play with is your mind. And if I don't even know why I'm doing what I'm doing, he can't play with my mind, because I don't know where I'm going. God just said, come, and I started walking. It didn't matter that it don't make sense. When you trust God, you will stop listening to people. But sometimes you still listen to people, because where there's much counsel, there's safety. But when it was time for me to come to New Beach Grove, every preacher told me not to come. Most of them have come and preached on this stage. In fact, all of them have preached on this stage. What? That contract looked crazy. What? A year probation? What? These bylaws? No, you should stay here. But God said, go. They paying you what? What? Ain't that about $30,000 cut in what you make? No, bro, you shouldn't go. But God told me to go. You know what I'm saying? But I was asking everybody, because I didn't understand preaching. I didn't have a father or uncle or anybody that was called. Now, when I was called, other people in my family became obedient, but I was the first one. I wasn't no PK. I didn't know what to do. I was insecure every time. But the reason why I believe the church has grown exponentially so fast is because I am insecure. Because I didn't know the church polity. I didn't know how I was supposed to please the trustees and the deacons, even though they may not be praying like they should. I didn't know how I'm supposed to sit up there and bow down in the church conference. I didn't know it. I was so insecure that I couldn't listen to nobody but God. And when you finally get to the point where you understand that you're not in control, I wish I could sing like my dude, CeeLo. He called himself Nars Barley now, because I think you're crazy if you think you're in control, because God is the author and finisher. God is the Alpha and the Omega. God is the beginning and the end. And when you get insecure enough and understand that it's God, He'll use you more. When you know it's him and not you, he'll use you, because he don't want anybody to steal his glory. I'm going to sit down because it's hot. Number two, you can still be a water walker even when you're not perfect, because nobody is perfect. You understand that? Number two, Exodus 3:13 says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" God chooses people to lead who have inabilities. You not going to be gifted in everything. Can I talk to the business people? You know why some of your businesses now are failing? It's because you hiring people that supplement you and don't compliment you. See, you hiring folk that's just like you because you want somebody to think just like you, look just like you, move just like you. What you need two U's for? You're wasting money. I know I'm not the nicest person all the time, so I gotta hire some friendly people. I can't hire stern people all the time. I do need stern people in certain positions. I can handle the details, but I don't like to get caught up in the details, so I gotta hire detailed people. I hate when I give somebody something to do and ask me what I want you to do. Negro, I want you to do your job. That's why I pay you. I don't wanna do it. You gotta understand who you are and understand your inabilities. See, if you really look at this, Moses is telling God all the reasons why he shouldn't be called. And they're not because they're not making sense. He's letting them know, I'm inadequate. They don't know who I am. I didn't grow up with them. I grew up in Egypt. I grew up in Pharaoh's house. They're going to be like, who in the world are you? You grew up in the palace. You grew up with a silver spoon in your mouth. You're not one of us. You are Uncle Tom. You a house person. You a sellout. He didn't come up in their neighborhood. He didn't come up where they were. He didn't relate to them. And he's like, how in the world am I going to lead them? I have inabilities. Look here. he said, who should I say sent me? And we're going to get to his other inabilities in a minute, but I'm going to kind of crip walk and skip a little bit. Moses couldn't talk. Moses stuttered. The deltas match it. He couldn't get it out. So God said, I know you can't say El Shaddai. I know you can't say El Elyon. I know you can't say Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Makedesh. You can't say, you can't talk. Just say, I am sent you. If you can just practice I am, That's all I need you to do. But even that's prophetic, because when you go, you say, I am. But when the little I am connects to the big I am, my God, he can do all, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He said, I am, sent me. Because he knew that Moses couldn't talk. But what hit me this morning was this. I believe that the reason why he chose Moses is because he couldn't talk. Because he wasn't going to say what he shouldn't say. Because he didn't want to talk no way. The reason why God a lot of times chooses inadequate people, people who don't feel like they deserve anything, is because he knows you won't move without him. Woo! I didn't know anything about Robert Rules order. I ain't know anything about bylaws. But one of the interview questions they had, when I interviewed, they said, what if you got a bylaw that covers stuff that ain't in the Bible? I said, well, that ain't the church I need to go to. You think you smarter than God. Everybody looking like, who asked that question? They don't go here no more. You got to get to the point where you understand that your weakness is what makes you strong. Ooh, girl, my mouth is messed up in public. But when I bring my mouth to church, it's a strength. Because when I say what I'm not supposed to say in the political arena, then it seems like I'm mean. Because I will say what I want to say, whether you like it or not. That's who I am. I can't lie to you. I wish I could. I can say it a little better sometimes, but I'm going to say it. But because I don't bite my tongue in the world, it messes me up. But when I bring that same mouth to the kingdom, it works, because I'm supposed to speak to you in season or out of season, whether you like it or whether you don't. And I don't care if you like it or not. Because I'm going to say what thus says the Lord. And what destroys me in public elevates me in the kingdom. And so don't worry about your weakness. He gave you that weakness for his benefit and for his glory. My friends know where I came from. They know I started players ball at Georgia Southern. That's so big. They know I was wilding out, still worried about Killer Mike's Freakneek, because I hope I ain't in the footage. But the same way that it didn't do well now, the boldness that God has given me through that, the same way I threw big parties, now I throw big conferences for the Lord. You hear me? Huh? The same way I put teams together to put together real clubby stuff, when we threw parties and DJ at clubs in at Georgia Southern and in the A, God brings that same gift to the kingdom. God will take your gift and sanctify it, clean it up, and put it on the altar for his benefit. Whatever your misery is right now will eventually become your ministry. I know you messed up right now, but God gonna use you. That same gift that's so messed up in the world is gonna be polished. Woo. Come on, somebody. Derek, I don't know. I know you sing, Chloe. You might still do. I don't know. But we got him out of there to doing this. Huh? I heard him sing. I said, oh, he going to sing. He going to be our next singer. Dre was like, what you talking about? I said, no, I don't usually buck against you, but no, he got to sing. And he was like, I don't know. I said, Negro, put him up there. I'm the pastor. And he sang, and he said, you know, you're right. Exactly, because it doesn't matter where I find you. It matters what the gift is. Come on, somebody. God pulled Paul out of the world. He was murdering Christians, turned him around, changed his name from Saul to Paul, and used him for his glory. So if you, whatever you're going through right now, God is about to clean it up and put it on the altar. He's about to take it and use it for his benefit. I know you've been shake dancing in the club. We're going to take the pole off, and you're going to be a praise dancer. Huh? I know you just used to having your shoes on, but we're going to give you a whole outfit. You'll get that when you go home. You used to be out there just dancing with shoes. We're going to give you some clothes, girl. And you're going to bring glory to God, because the same way that you brought joy to the club, you're going to bring joy in the house of God. God will take it and clean it up. See, this is the thing. You don't understand how powerful God is. God don't let nobody touch his stuff, but we can touch theirs. Daniel ate from all, he didn't eat what they ate, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but they did use their utensils, but they didn't eat what they ate. But the minute Nebuchadnezzar touched the silverware of the Lord, the handwriting was on the wall. Come on, somebody. And the vision said, God is going to deal with you because you touching what's his. And these people that come in, and I ain't saying that they bad, because some of them are called to do it, but some of these rappers that come and just try to pervert the gospel just to make money, God going to deal with them in a minute. But we can take their rap, clean it up, and bring it to the house of God and draw people in. It ain't about being a gimmick, because God created everything. The devil just perverted it. And whatever you doing right now, God can use it for his good. I'm trying to talk to somebody, because church folk keep pushing you out. Church folk keep telling you what you ain't going to be. But them same church folk that used to drop it like it's hot, but now they can't pick it back up. It's only reason they don't drop it. I remember I seen one of our late members. I went to the hospital. I went to the rehab to see them. And they had all these pictures of this lady on the wall. I'm like, dang, she got some short skirts on. My God, that's her daughter. And then she said, hey, pastor, look, this me when I was so-and-so. That's you? Now, you be talking about sister so-and-so when they come with the short skirt on. So why you talking? Oh, you mad because you can't wear it no more. Oh, you weren't really delivered. It was just a wrinkle in time. Oh, so what I'm telling you, don't let church folk, because there's a lot of church folk, but sometimes it's not as many kingdom folk. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, but church folk will make you feel bad if they just churchy. Because truth be told, they used to do the same thing you do. And sometimes they still do what you do. They just know how to mask it. They know how to put a tie on and let the collar match their tie square. They know how to put on the alligators and look like they got it together. They know how to sit here and look like they sitting from a job, but they're really hanging over from the club they went to, that they went over in Suffolk somewhere where nobody knew their name. I'm trying to talk to somebody. I don't know where this sermon is going, because it surely didn't come out like this at 8 o'clock, but some of y'all need to hear it. Yeah. I remember somebody told me, man, I saw Pastor so-and-so at so-and-so. How you saw him? Who told you? I was there. So why are you talking about him? You in the same club? I don't know where I'm going with this. Somebody need to hear it. Because God is about to clean you up, and you got to get away from people that keep trying to keep you where you are. Every time I see somebody, ooh, I remember, man, ooh, I'm going to talk to the devil because y'all might not come back. Hey, look, so I was at this church in Atlanta, and I was going to preach, and I'm sitting in the pulpit, and people literally, this is not an exaggeration, literally climbing over the pews. Like, I'm talking about it was so crowded, they were climbing, because it wasn't really full in there. It wasn't empty, but it was enough space. And some of them didn't want to walk down the aisle. They were literally climbing. And then people getting out and coming up, and they was coming closer. And the pastor said, what's wrong with them? They don't never act like this. I said, they don't believe this is me. They want to see. He said, no, no, I'm telling you, I don't know what's wrong with them. Ain't got nothing to do. I'm telling you, they don't believe it's me because I can see them, but they really can't see me good. And they're like, I know that ain't Maxwell up there preaching. I know that ain't Mr. Freak nigga up there. I know they ain't the one that used to throw them parties in the club over down at Georgia. No. All I did, Derek, I stood up and said, yeah, it's me. They was like, whoa. It was like a sitcom. See, that's why the Bible says, when they say, hey, an enemy sow tares among the wheat, should we take it up? And the Lord said, no, because if you root up the tares, you might root up the wheat too. Because I looked like a tear back then. Sometimes you get on my nerves, I look up like a tear today. But you can't judge people and try to take them out the kingdom because you think they're not where they're supposed to be. Because truth be told, we're not where we're supposed to be either. We all fall short of the glory of God. So God would choose people. What number am I on? Three, with inadequacies. You can be inadequate. Hold on, y'all said three, so I'm on three. They said, look. And Moses said, no. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not know me. Right. That's where we at. They were behind it. It wasn't me. I did read it. Inadequacies. Right? He'll help you even if you got inadequacies. Right? You can go on. Oh, yeah. Answer up. Yeah. Look at this. Look at number four. It says, in verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore he definitely couldn't talk. What in the world is hair 2-4? Nor since thou, I heard a therefore, but hair 2-4, he talking backwards. He got dyslexia of the tongue. Nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. God chooses people to lead who have infirmities. You can have a weakness and God still choose you. You know why? Because if you act like you holier than thou, you can't. Let me say, a prophet without a mirror is the worst thing in the world. They'll judge everybody but themselves. He'll choose people that know that they weak. Because when I look at you, because you on heroin, I won't judge you because I know I got my own vice. I know that every now and then when you get on my nerves, I might give you a short word instead of hallelujah. I know me. And when you know you, you got to keep yourself out of certain situations. I came down earlier because I wanted to make sure I heard the choir. I wanted to make sure I saw the Deltas. I wanted to make sure I saw the Zetas. I wanted to make sure I saw the AKAs. If I left out somebody, I apologize. I ain't got my glasses on, so I can't see it. But I stay because I know how particular I am, and I know when something out of place, I'm taking it, hey, man, get this right, and I'm going to get on people's nerves, although they should know what to do by now. Yeah, say the amen again, yeah. But what I'm saying is this, Moses knew his weaknesses and he said to God, why are you calling me? I can't talk, I done murdered somebody. I'm not an Israelite really because I stayed up and I grew up in Egypt. You sure you want to use me? And God said yes. Why? Because you won't judge anybody because you understand that it's a miracle I'm using you. You know what I tell people when they say, I don't know how you got called. I'm like, I don't know either. When you figure it out, you tell me. I don't know how we made it through the pandemic. I don't know how God continued to send an increase. I don't know how we keep getting stuff, even when people that try to act like they love me, I know they don't, and backstab me, yet we still get what God has. I guess favor ain't fair, but it's surely been good to me, and I understand that it's not me, because God is the author and finisher. God is the one, he who began a good work in me, he gonna finish it. It don't have to be me. I can be special ed. I can be straight up slow, but God is going to use me because he want to use me. But you know what? He want to use you too, but some of y'all too daggone adequate. Let me tell you, when it says your greatest weakness is your greatest strength, my mouth is definitely a weakness. Somebody say amen. That's for me to say, for you to listen. I know my mouth ain't good, but it's good in the kingdom. But my strength is calculating numbers. I put a deal together and I have it in my head, and people will be like, okay. And then after they come, they be like, well, what happened? But I got it in my mind. I don't need a calculator. I know, hey, if y'all start telling me what this is, and they say, hey, we're missing this, did y'all spend what I told you not to spend? Because I know where the money at, because I'm a calculator. I know numbers. And I calculate, and I figure it out. And the crazy thing, Monday, I was in here figuring out stuff, and all of a sudden the Spirit hit me, and I went into praying in the Spirit. Like I said, I went praying, walking around the building. What up, baby? We got a room for you if you need one. Hey, but seriously, when we first moved in here, God, before, they wouldn't give us a building. They felt like we couldn't afford it, no way. And they wanted to give us this building and the little building, but they didn't want to give us a big building. So I told y'all this before. I went and I walked around the building in the rain. Didn't make no sense. In the rain. First of all, I don't like being in the rain. I ain't no punk, but I don't like getting my clothes messed up. You know, but anyway, so I went in, I ain't had no umbrella, put my little hoodie on, had my little Uggs on, went and walked around the building. Didn't make no sense, but because I did what God said, the church said, you know what, I know we said y'all couldn't have the building, but I believe God said you're supposed to have that building, and we got the building. Didn't make sense. Kept trying to do my real estate, had calculated, but I didn't learn my lesson from the last time. Even though God told me to walk around the building and get this building, and we got it, I'm still back to Mr. Math Man. Let me figure out how we gonna get this commercial kitchen and get this daggone banquet hall. If I take the 2 divided by the 4, add this, carry the 1. I got it. Calculated it. I know how we're going to get it to the T. All of a sudden, I started praying, and God started bringing more vision in and saying, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, calculate that. Then I was like, I had to shout because I know he's going to do something bigger than what I can see in my mind, because the problem is when you try to do it with your own mind, it ain't going to be big as God wanted to be. Then Bishop on Tuesday said, some of y'all want to calculate this. And I'm like, this Negro was in my phone. What are he doing? He said, some of y'all trying to calculate this. When he said he fed the multitude with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, he said when he took off one head of the sardine, another one grew back. He said every time he broke it, it kept multiplying, because God will give you an overflow. And after he fed all the multitude with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, they had 12 baskets left over. When you hear it told by John, they had 12 baskets left over. And he said the man went, and they had to get the disciple to find a little boy home that gave his lunch, because God gave him the overflow. It didn't make sense. The boy said, I know it's about 5,000 to 10,000 people out here, but I know if I give Jesus all I got, I know everything is going to be all right. No matter how inadequate you are, if you give God all you got, if you give him all of you, no matter how little that is, he'll take it and multiply. He'll give you a blessing, a good measure blessing. Press down, shake it together, and run it over. Even in your inadequacies, too much is given, much is required. And some of us can't get blessed because we got so many gifts that we keep trying to do it on our own. And so sometimes you look at how in the world is this dude so blessed and he can't even complete a sentence because he gave God all he had. When the lady brought two mites, Jesus said she brought more than everybody. When the boy brought two fish and five loaves of bread, God used it to bless everybody and still gave him an overflow. Give it all you got, no matter how insecure or inadequate you are. As long as you give God all of you, he gonna bless it. Because God would do exceedingly, abundantly above whatever you can ask, think, or imagine. It ain't even got to be real. If I can imagine it, God will make it bigger. And I was sitting there calculating, trying to figure out how to get this banquet hall. And then the bishop came. Bishop said, stop adding this stuff up. Because God would do bigger than you. His ways, not your ways. His thoughts, not your thoughts. Stop trying to think about it on your own, because the thing about it is you can do more than me if you do what God takes you to do, even if I got more gifts than you, because God will exceedingly do it above what you can do anyhow. So stop trying to compare yourself to Bishop Morton. Stop trying to compare yourself to Joyce Meyer. Stop trying to compare yourself to Obama. Stop trying to compare yourself to Michelle. Stop trying to compare yourself to whoever it is you look up to. Because God has made you marvelously and wonderfully. He is, oh my God, and when he get ready to bless you. See, the problem is you want to be somebody else and not yourself. Remember when David wanted to go fight Goliath and Saul gave him the armor and David couldn't even walk with the armor. He tried to go wear the armor, but he took it off. Yeah. I'm sure they're like, he gonna die. He can't even carry the armor. But he took off the armor and the anointing fell on him. And he said, look here, you uncircumcised Philistine, I'ma take this rock, I'ma bust your head wide open, then I'ma cut your head off and I'ma feed it to the bird. He said it. The same way I kill lion and bear with my bare hands, I kill you. Do you understand some of y'all mad at the job you at, but God is training you in a hostile environment and you're going to be better than people that went to Yale and Harvard and Morris Brown and Morehouse and Hampton University, because God has trained you in the middle of the dirt. God ain't no training like God training. David's brother was in war school. David's brother went to the best school, but little shepherd boy in the backyard with no weapons. God did die. His daddy didn't give him anything. But he said, I'm going to make me a weapon with a rag and a rock. And the same way that I killed the lion and the bear, the same way I handled that coworker in the cubicle, the same way I handled them haters in my sorority, the same way I hated them haters when I was in this other position, it's the same way I'm going to handle them when I'm at the front office. The same way I'm going to handle them when I'm the CEO. Because I know the school trained you. But my training came from God himself. Oh, yeah. See, I got some guests. See, what I call haters, I call them toll booth collectors. They mad because everybody going somewhere but them. And they collect your toll. And the only way they collect your toll is you got to learn how to ignore them. When God stops elevating you, you got to drop some people. Because somewhere I read, when Jairus came to Jesus, and they was laughing because they said that he couldn't heal the girl because she was already dead. Jesus said, get out the room. Get out the room and close the door. Sometimes you got to get everybody out the room. You got to close the door and get in your prayer closet and say, if it was not for the Lord on my side, where would I be? I can't call my sorority sister. I can't call my mama. It's just got to be alone in the room with just me and you. If I could call Yolanda, I'd say I can do it all. by myself if I got to. You'd be inadequate. Sometimes you got to get away from folk, and you got to be your authentic self. When he grabbed the armor, I'm sure the anointed looked at him like, "You saw? I don't even recognize you. I can't come up out of you unless you be you. Don't try to be somebody else." And see, the thing about this, Spirit of the Living God fall fresh on me is not theologically sound. Because the Bible says the anointing flows up out of you like rivers and living water. It's already in you. I know we go to school because that's the way America got it set up. But I don't need no school to teach me how to preach because God taught me how to preach. But I got to go study to show myself approved. I begin to realize the same thing they teaching me, that's how I was putting my sermon together, because it's already in me. Cooking already in you. You don't need to go to no cooking school. You just got to go get your credentials. Just to certify what God already gave you. No matter how inadequate you are, God has bless you. You better look at them people in the Bible that was messed up. Samson couldn't lead a lot alone. David couldn't lead nobody alone. Noah couldn't lead E and J alone. He always turned it up. Jacob was a swindler. Isaiah would cuss you out. Tongue was so bad, God had to burn his tongue before he let him talk. Moses couldn't talk, was a murderer. Joseph was petty, didn't need to put that bag of stuff in his brother's bag to make it look like they stole something, just petty. So God can use you with your petty self. Everybody was messed up in the Bible. And the funny thing, Deacon Spells, we always celebrate how God used the men and women of God who was messed up, but won't celebrate the men and women of God God uses who messed up now. Some of you all miss the word because you're looking at the man or woman of God who bringing it. Everybody falls short. Somebody like, well, so-and-so did so. Cause half the stuff don't be true no way. Cause folk will start something. Somebody came to me now and said, hey, my friend so-and-so said they grew up with you. They said so-and-so, they knew your daddy. How do you know my dad? I ain't from here. Well, that's what she said. Well, I don't care what she said. I'm telling you what I said because I'm me. Henry Maxwell is not my daddy. I'm from Atlanta. Everybody talking about how they grew up with me. For real? Oh, I grew up in the A. She was just mad at me because I didn't agree with her. How I'm going to agree with you about my life? But what I'm telling you is you got to learn how to ignore what you hear and don't worry about. I don't care how messed up a man or woman of God is. God going to deal with them the day they die, because there's a hotter place in hell for me if I lead you astray. But what I'm trying to tell you is where you going to get the word from. I ain't got time to worry about your life. I got to worry about mine. Let me go ahead and get out of here. Because I already know I'm inadequate. If you see me do something wrong, I told you. Only thing you're going to probably see me wrong, because I do it right 100 times. But 101 times when somebody get on my nerves, I don't say Jesus. God, Exodus 4:13, I know. In the King James, it reads like this, and he said, oh, Lord, sin, I pray thee by the hand of him whom thou would send. And sometimes you got to exegete the King James, but I try to make my old school people happy. I honor you with King James, but it is not working for this verse. So let's go to the NLT so we can get out of here. NLT, it says, but Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. Don't send me, send somebody else. What I don't understand is when people say that, they ask me, why do I want to preach? If you wanted to preach, you weren't called to preach. I ain't seen nobody in the Bible that wanted to do what they were supposed to do. Except maybe Joshua, he ain't waver, but he had Moses as a mentor the whole time. But the thing about it is, when you called, a lot of times you're not going to feel worthy. You shouldn't. You shouldn't feel adequate. Even now, I don't know if you like the sermon or not, but that ain't my concern, because that's what God gave me. But at 8 o'clock, I got to work out all my insecurity. I don't know, oh, Jesus. I don't know what I'm supposed to preach. But I know what I'm supposed to preach. I just didn't want to preach it. But I'm going to tell y'all this because I'm going to help people from other churches. I need you all in this season to free the men and women of God up in your life that are pastoring or leading great organizations. And the thing about this, we want somebody to help us hold a mantle because we can't hold it by ourselves. When Moses got tired, Aaron and her, being her, would hold his arms up so that they would continue to be. I didn't get an answer. The answer is insufficiencies. Insufficiencies. Get them insufficiencies. You can be insufficient. You can be insufficient and God still use you. Sorry about that. Thank you, sister and brother screen worker. And you got to help them hold their arms up. But you got to have confidence that you're a water walker. And you got to do what they ask you to do when they ask you to do it. Stop asking why. I saw a little boy outside. They was trying to see, do you want to go here? Do you want to go there? And then they were going. They said, why? And in my mind, Negro, don't ask me why. Just bring a little bit over here. That's how I think. Sorry. But my thing is, it was funny. I mean, it really wasn't. It was funny. But my thing is, so many people ask why and this and that. And sometimes we can't say why all the time. When Peter was on the water, Jesus just said, come. And see, when you got insufficiencies, that's why God chooses people with insufficiencies, because they listen more, because they know they ain't all that. And so they listen. And so, uh-oh, I'm going too long. They're trying to escape. Stop them, security. No, I'm just playing. Hey. So I'm sitting. So when Elijah was praying for rain, he just had his head between his knees, and he prayed for rain. And the man went out because he had just prayed for a famine and it wasn't raining. Now God got him to pray for rain. Ain't it funny how God will tell you to do one thing and then change the next time? It ain't that you didn't hear God. It's just he want to see if you listening. So he prayed for no rain. Now he got to pray for rain. And so now he in this bipolar moment where he got to pray for rain after he just made it not rain. And he's sitting there and he's praying. And he says, hey, go see what's out there. And the servant goes to see if it's rain. He said, I don't see nothing. And the man of God said, go again. And then he prayed some more, and he said, go again. Notice the servant and say, man, why I keep going out here? Why I keep going? Why he keep sending me? What he doing? I don't know what pastor doing. Why he telling me to do it like this? Why he want me to do this? Why in the world? I know I told him that. He kept praying. Then he said, go again. And about a seventh time, or eighth time, or whatever time he went out there, the servant said, I see the cloud, a cloud the size of a man's hand. Now, I don't care if your hand big as Shaq's hand, that cloud ain't big, because a hand ain't big enough for a cloud. And the man of God said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain with a size. See, you got to learn how to hear God in small signs. And some of y'all ain't been to church and I don't know when, but God already told you about to be a water walker. You done picked up on the word. Some of y'all are trying to tell you something right now, because he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. But the only reason he could hear the sound was because he was able to stay in a prayer posture. He didn't have to get up. I'm telling you that God is about to assign some water walkers to some men and women of God. And because you're obedient, it's about to rain in your life. It's about to rain deliverance. It's about to rain liberation. It's about to rain healing. It's about to rain entrepreneurship. It's about to rain money, blessings, houses, wealth. Hey, it's about to rain victory, because you're about to be connected to some men and women of God who are going further than you. But because you connected, I don't know about you, I don't have to be the cup. If I'm just a saucer under the cup that's running over, I'm still getting blessed. I'm done. There's an overflow coming in your life. There's an overflow coming in your life. I don't say this all the time. There's an overflow coming in your life, but you got to expect it. That's why in this series, in this March Gospel Madness, the theme is great expectations. You get what you expect. You are a product of what you think, and what you say. Power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. And whatever you speak, that's what you get. A man or woman's belly is satisfied by the fruit of their lips. If you say it, that's what you're going to get. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But what gets in your heart is through your eye gate and your ear gate. Protect what you see. Be careful of watching certain stuff on TV. Be careful of certain music and movies you watch, because you take in your ear gate and your eye gate trash, and it affects your heart. Stop hanging around a person just because you've been around them 20 and 30 years. They ain't got nothing but negativity to say. Girl, I don't know why you're trying that. They ain't gonna work. I need some anointed people. I need some positive Holy Ghost filled people. I need some folk that'll walk on water with me. Overflow is coming. But I need you to leave with this. It don't matter that you're not perfect. None of us are perfect. We all inadequate. We all fall short of the glory of God. God can use you in your inadequacies, in your insufficiencies, in your insecurities, in your infirmities. He can use you in your inadequacy. All that stuff, he can use you. It doesn't matter. Just keep walking it out. And God going to improve you and anoint you more and more as you walk it out. Press toward the mark of his holy call, and God is going to bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there one, sorry for going so long, is there one that wants to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You may come. If you online, you can inbox us in the name of Jesus. Is there one that wants to receive Jesus? You may come now. If you need a church home, you may come now in the name of Jesus. Is there one? Hallelujah.